This is the second message in the series of Jews, Judaism, and Christianity. Jews, Judaism, and Christianity. So notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 10, and we'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 4. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebanus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, I began this brief series last Sunday. If you have not heard the first message in this brief series, I would ask that you listen to it so that you may follow along as we progress in our study. I am going to briefly review that message, but that brief review will not take the place of hearing the entire message. The first message, I demonstrated how that Jesus Christ was King of the Jews. And I made this astounding statement, and it is so simple, and yet most people, it goes right over their heads. Jesus Christ was a Judean. He was not a Jew. He was born of the tribe of Judah, and Judah is in the southern kingdom. And of course, it was the Jews who persecuted him. It was the Jews who crucified him, and they did so simply because he did not follow their religion and their traditions. Now, I pointed out that Jesus Christ is indeed King of the Jews, but he was not born King of the Jews just simply because he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. You remember I told you last week Jesus Christ was conceived in the northern kingdom in Nazareth. And of course, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, so he was a Judean by birth, but he stayed in Judea less than 2 years. And when his father and mother came back into the land after having fled into Egypt, he went then to Nazareth, which is a city in Galilee, which is in the northern kingdom. So, how is it then that Jesus Christ is King of the Jews, or the Judeans, even though he lived less than 2 years in the land of Judea? And the answer is, Jesus Christ is King of the Jews by virtue of the fact that he is the true son of David. He is the greater David. And I gave you the scriptures where the angel said he shall have the throne of his father David. Matthew 1:1 begins, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then, of course, I pointed out in Psalm 2 in verses 6 and 7, where God says concerning Christ, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." So Jesus Christ then was a Judean by birth, but he certainly was not a Jew by religion. He was born in Judah, but he was raised in Nazareth in Galilee, which is in the northern kingdom. As I said earlier, the Jews were his enemies. They hated him. They crucified him. And the reason they did so was because he was against their religion, that is, their Talmudic traditions and rituals. Now, let me remind you of something that I demonstrated last week, or in the last message. I want to show you how the word Jew is used in the Bible. I also told you the very first time it is used was 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 6. And it referred to the southern kingdom, the Judeans that were there. But I'm going to give you the definition of the Hebrew and the Greek word. The Hebrew word is Yehudi, and it literally means a Judahite or a descendant of Judah. The word is used in the Bible, I'm going to give you 6 ways right now, but I'm going to add another way before I close this series. It is used to describe a person or persons from the tribe of Judah, or someone from the kingdom of Judah, or someone from the land of Judah or Judea, or it talks about the nation of Judah, or the house of Judah, or anyone belonging to the tribe, land, nation, or house of Judah that could be called a Judahite, but it also refers to the religion of the Jews. When you get to the New Testament, you have the Greek word "udaos," which literally means Judean, or Judean in the sense of a country or a land. So when you see it in the New Testament, usually it refers to someone from the southern nation, or someone from the tribe of Judah, or someone from that country. Now, there is another word that is used in the Bible that I want to show you, and that is the word jury. The word jury indicates someone from the land of Judea, someone being brought out of the southern kingdom. So, for instance, if you would hold in Matthew chapter 10, turn back in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, and look in verse 13. Daniel chapter 5, you will find the word jury used here, and then we're going to look at it in the New Testament as well. Look in the book of Daniel chapter 5, and notice if you would please verse 13. Daniel is being brought before the king, Belshazzar, and look what is said. Daniel 5, verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jury? Now notice, if you would, he asked him, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jury? What is Jury? Well, it would be out of the southern kingdom, out of Judea. So he's asking him, Art thou of the children of the captivity of Judah, which the king my father brought out of Judea, or Judah, or Jury? So the word Jury then still refers to the kingdom or the country. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 5. Luke 23 and verse 5. Sometimes in the New Testament, the word jury is used here, not only to indicate the southern kingdom, but it could also be used to indicate a believer in the Jewish religion wherever he happened to be located. So notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 5. Luke 23 and verse 5. And of course, here the Jews who are trying to have Christ crucified, they're talking to Pilate. Look in verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And then they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jury, beginning from Galilee to this place. In other words, our Lord is from Galilee, but he stirreth up all the people, teaching throughout all Jury. In other words, throughout the entire southern kingdom. Now, he was from Galilee, but notice they are using the word Jury here. And of course, I suppose the word Jury could refer then to anyone who believed in Judaism, wherever he was located, from Galilee, the northern kingdom, all the way down to the southern kingdom. Now, here is what Strong says concerning the word jury here. Listen carefully. He said, in a narrow sense, it refers to the southern portion of Palestine lying on this side of Jordan in the Dead Sea, to distinguish it from Samaria, Galilee, Perea, and Idumea. In a broader sense, it could refer to all Palestine. So what he is saying is the word jury here primarily refers to the land of Judea. That would be the southern kingdom. Therefore, he's distinguishing it from Galilee and Perea and all these other individuals. So it could refer, it does refer mainly to the southern kingdom, but if you stretched it, it could refer to Jews whoever or wherever they were residing, either in the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom, but it would still refer to mainly the Judeans. So if you look in John chapter 7 and verse 1, John 7 and verse 1. Now here again it shows you that Christ is being persecuted by the Jews. And especially, and I'm referring to the land of Judea, those who were in the southern kingdom. So in John chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says this. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Now remember, Galilee is in the northern kingdom. It's not in the southern kingdom. I gave out some maps. Those of you who have the maps, you can look at them. But Galilee is in the northern kingdom. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. What is Jewry? Jewry here refers to Judea or the southern kingdom. Notice, if you would, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea. There's Jewry. That thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And then the Bible tells you why the brothers were egging him on at that time. Verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. In other words, at that particular time, even his physical brothers, quote unquote, or half brothers, did not believe in him. But notice Jewry here refers to the Jews. And once you see it in verse 3, it refers primarily then to Judea. So John chapter 7 is very clear in this particular instance. So the term Jewry again refers to Judah, to the southern kingdom. Now here are the questions for today. I want you to listen. Here are my questions. Can you name the 12 apostles? Here's another question. How many of the 12, if any, were Jews? You see, we tend to think, well, all of them were. But that's not true. I hope you're beginning to understand a simple principle. Whenever you see the word Jew or Jews in the Scripture, you must look at the context and you must see how that word is used or defined. I want you to look again in Matthew chapter 10. If you cannot name the 12 apostles, here they are. Notice, if you would, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Levinus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, as you read through the Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to discover that several of the apostles are spoken of with different names. For instance, the Apostle Peter. Sometimes he's simply called Simon Peter, or sometimes Cephas. That was the name that God gave him, our Lord gave him, because it means a rock. So anytime you see in the New Testament, usually, unless it's someone else by the name of Cephas, but he did call Peter Cephas. So it's either Peter or Simon Peter or Cephas. Now Andrew, his brother, is simply referred to as Andrew in all four of the Gospels. When you get to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, James and John were also given the name Boanerges by our Lord, which means sons of thunder, in Mark 3 and verse 17. But usually they're just simply referred to as James and John, but they were given the name Boanerges, or sons of thunder. And occasionally, John will just simply be identified as the brother of James. Then we have Philip and Bartholomew next. Philip is referred to as Philip throughout all the four Gospels. However, Bartholomew is referred to as Nathanael in the book of John. So Bartholomew is given the name Nathanael. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. Thomas is referred to as Thomas, with the exception that in the book of John, he's referred to as Thomas Didymus. Sometimes he's just called Didymus. The one was a Hebrew name, the other a Greek name. Both Thomas and Didymus means twin. So evidently, he was a twin. So anytime you see Thomas or Didymus or Thomas Didymus, it's the same individual in the Bible. Matthew, the tax collector, the publican, is referred to as Matthew in all four Gospels. He is the one that wrote the book of Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus, is the only name used for James, the son of Alphaeus, in the four Gospels. Thaddeus is called Jude in the book of Luke and John. He's one person, but he's spoken of under two different names. So Thaddeus is called Jude. Then there's Simon the Canaanite. Simon is referred to as Simon the Zealot, but it's the same person. And then lastly, we have Judas Iscariot, who is simply referred to as Judas Iscariot. And in the book of John, he is also referred to as Simon's son. Simon's son. John 12, verse 2. John 13, verse 4. So Judas Iscariot was the son of Simon, but he's called Judas Iscariot throughout the Bible. Now, the question that has to be asked is this. Were any of these 12 apostles Jews? Were they Judahites? Were any of these 12 apostles from the land of Judah or of the tribe of Judah? Now you have to remember this. If Christ Jesus was not a Jew, that is, he did not embrace Judaism, then obviously none of his apostles would embrace Judaism either. That is, they would not embrace the Jews' religion. They would simply be disciples of Christ or followers of Christ, because when one embraced the teachings of Jesus Christ, he left behind Judaism. Now, I understand that the Bible tells us that the followers and the disciples of Christ were first called Christians at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. So how then would we refer to the 12 apostles? Well, we would just simply refer to them as disciples of Christ or followers of Christ. And I pointed out in the last message that Judaism and Christianity are opposites. They are not one and the same. And in that sense of the word, there is no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. And I know you read and you hear that all the time about our Judeo-Christian heritage. No, we do not have a Judeo-Christian heritage. We might have an Israelite Christian heritage or a Hebrew Christian heritage or an Old Testament, New Testament Christian heritage. But Judaism and Christianity are exactly opposites. There is no middle ground. So I want to answer this question for you. And it may surprise you when you begin to see where the apostles hailed from and what their positions really were. So, here's what I want to do. If you will look in Matthew 10 at verses 2, 3, and 4. Just look at them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take these apostles in order. And we're going to look at them. So because he says the first, Simon, who is also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebanus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So we're going to look at these one at the time, or sometimes as they're coupled, two at the time. So let's talk about Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother. So if you look in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. So we're talking about Peter and Andrew. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, really, we would not necessarily have to read any further, but we shall. But notice Jesus walking by the Sea of what? Galilee. Where is Galilee? It's in the northern kingdom, in the uppermost portion. So he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Watch verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and they follow him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and called unto them. Now, let me point it out. First of all, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew were Galileans. Now you have James and John, because he's still at the Sea of Galilee, and James and John are Galileans. Now, are you listening to me? The Bible says that Jesus Christ shall be called a Nazarene. Why was he called a Nazarene? Because he lived in Nazareth, which was in Galilee, which was the northern kingdom. Christ was not called a Jew. He was called a Nazarene. Peter and Andrew were Galileans. They're from the northern kingdom. James and John were Galileans. They were from the northern kingdom. So, here are the first four of our Lord's apostles. Neither one of them were Jews. They were Galileans. They were not from Judea. They were not of the tribe of Judah. They did not embrace Judaism. They were Galileans. Now, look in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And let's begin reading there at verse 43. John 1, verse 43. Now watch carefully. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Whoa, wait a minute now. If Andrew and Peter were Galileans, and if Jesus went forth into Galilee, and if Bethsaida is in Galilee, what would that make Philip? A Galilean. Philip was a Galilean as well. Now watch, let's keep going. So here we are, John chapter 1. Verse 44, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed is whom I know guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now, if Philip was of Galilee, if he was of Bethsaida, the city, the Bible says there, of Andrew and Peter, and that was in Galilee, and then Philip turns right around and finds Nathanael. Where is Nathanael from? Galilee, the same area. Now, I want you to look in John 21. John 21. John 21. And notice, if you would, please, beginning there with verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. By the way, would someone like to tell me another name for the Sea of Tiberias? How about the Sea of Galilee? Same sea. Tiberias was a ruler. It's the same place. Now watch. By the Sea of Tiberias, on this wise showed he himself. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, are you looking? And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. And the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Now, that ought to just clinch it for you because Nathanael was of Galilee as well. Now, I told you earlier that sometimes in the four Gospels, Nathanael is called Bartholomew. Why would he be called Bartholomew if his name is Nathanael? Well, you have to remember how a lot of people were named. The Hebrew word bar literally means son or son of. Nathanael's father was Talmai. He would be called Bartalmai or Bartholomew, the son of Talmai. His name was Nathanael, but he was called the son of Talmai. So it's just like Ed and Eddie. Eddie can be called the son of Ed. So obviously, you have here Nathanael, who's called sometimes the son of Talmai or Bartholomew. How about Matthew the publican? And I have a difficult time sometimes saying Matthew the publican because I have a pastor friend who lost a son many years ago whose name was Matthew. And I used to tease the boy all the time. And instead of calling him Matthew the publican, I called him Matthew the Republican, the Republican, you know. And so sometimes I have to catch myself because I'll call him the Republican instead of the publican, but Matthew the publican. So look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And notice, if you would please, in verse 1. We have to find out where Matthew is from. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Now I'm going to come back to this passage, but I want you to watch. And he, that is Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Wow. Now let me tell you what's happening in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus Christ is in Gadara, where he cast the demons out of the maniac of Gadara, and they went into the swine, and the swine ran violently over the cliff, which you are aware of that. And so the Bible tells us that our Lord crossed back over the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Gennesaret, and he comes now to his own country. For instance, verse 34 of Matthew 8, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came then into his own country. Well, where's our Lord's own country? Well, I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 and 2. Then we're going back to Matthew. Look in Mark 2, verses 1 and 2. Mark 2, verse 1. And again, he, that is Christ, entered into Capernaum after some days. It was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Notice, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Wow. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 now. I'm just trying to find out his own city because this is where he finds Matthew. So look in Matthew chapter 4, beginning there with verse 12. Matthew 4, verse 12. Watch Matthew 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. That's the northern kingdom. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt where? In Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprung up. Note, if you would, Jesus, verse 13, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Note, if you would, please, Capernaum is in the northern kingdom. It is in the area of Galilee. So here we find our Lord, his own city. I'm going to get back to that, is Capernaum. Look in Matthew 17 and verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? Where did our Lord live after he left Nazareth? And the answer is Capernaum. Now, turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9, and this is going to make sense. Look at Matthew 9 in verse 1. He crosses over the lake of Gennesaret. Verse 1, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now, skipping down, after he heals the man sick of the palsy, look, if you would, please, in verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, that is, from healing the man, into Capernaum, watch what happened. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, Capernaum was in Galilee. Matthew was a Galilean like all of the other apostles that we've seen so far. Every apostle so far has been from the northern kingdom. Not one Judean yet. Now, next I want to consider James the son of Alphaeus and Levinus, whose surname was Thaddeus. So, let's look in Matthew chapter 10. He sends his apostles out. And notice, if you would, in verse 2. We'll read verse 2. Matthew 10, verse 2. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew. All of these were Galileans. Now James, the son of Alphaeus and Levinus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Let me give you two quotes before I begin to explain who these people are. The first quote is from John Gill, the great Baptist historian and theologian. He said this, James, the son of Alphaeus or Levinus, whose surname was Thaddeus. The former of these is so called to distinguish him from James, the son of Zebedee. You remember James and John, the same as sons of Zebedee. He says, this is the James who was called the brother of our Lord in Galatians 1 and verse 19. Sometimes he's referred to as James the Less, just to distinguish him from the first James, James and John. Then he goes on to say, the latter of this pair of apostles is the same person with Jude, the writer of the epistle, which bears that name, and was the brother of James, with whom he is coupled. He is called Levinus, either from the town of Leba, a seacoast town of Galilee, or, as Dr. Lightfoot thinks, from the Hebrew word, which means my heart, as others, either for his prudence or through the affections his parents had to him. So, James and Jude. Now listen to this. Here's Jameson Fawcett Brown. Levinus, whose surname was Thaddeus, the same without doubt as Judas, the brother of James, mentioned in both the list of Luke, Luke 16, Acts 1:13. While no one of the name of Levinus or Thaddeus is so, it is he who in John is sweetly called Judas, not Iscariot, that he was the author of the Epistle of Jude, and most likely the same as the Lord's brother. So the James and Jude that are mentioned here, or Thaddeus, as the other name given, Judah or Judas, would be two of the Lord's brethren. Now, look if you would in Matthew 13 and verse 55. Matthew 13 and verse 55. I want to show you. So, the people here are offended at Jesus Christ. Look in verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now look, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. There's James and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, look in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 13. Acts 1, verse 13. Because now the apostles are listed when they're in the upper room. Notice Acts 1 and verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, which would be Nathanael, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, or Simon the Canaanite, and Judas, the brother of James. So, in Matthew he's called Thaddeus, and now he's called Judas. Now, we know that James was an apostle. If Judas is the half-brother, Judas also is the same individual called Jude who wrote the book of Jude. Now, if you look in Acts 15, there is a possibility, I believe, that this could be the same man. Notice Acts chapter 15 and verse 27. I realize there are other people named Jude or Judas. But notice if you would in Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren in many words and confirmed them. So it could be here the same Jude, who was the brother of James, who was the brother, of course, our Lord. Let me show you something that that I think is interesting. If you look in the book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation, next to the last book in the New Testament, notice if you would, I like this. You talk about humility. You talk about someone who is humble. Look how Jude introduces himself. Watch this. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, if James was the half-brother of our Lord, was not Jude the half-brother of our Lord too? But he doesn't say, I'm the brother of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. I'm the brother of James. So, he's interestingly saying here that obviously He is indeed the brother of Christ as well. So, look in your Bibles now to the book of Luke chapter 6. I'm still trying to tie this together for you. Look in Luke chapter 6, and let's begin there with verse 13. Luke 6 and verse 13. Luke 6, verse 13. Luke 6, verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew or Nathanael, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also was the traitor. So here Jude is again called the brother of James. So, all of these were Galileans. Now, we've got Simon the Canaanite, who's also referred to as Simon the Zealot. He is called the Zealot because of his zeal. The word Canaanite is just the Aramaic term for zealot. Probably before his acquaintance with Jesus and before his conversion, he probably belonged to the sect of the Zealots, who bound themselves as sort of a voluntary ecclesiastical police to see that the law was not broken with impunity. Since he is called Simon the Canaanite, it could also be because he was from Cana in Galilee. So if you were from Cana in Galilee, which is the northern kingdom, you would certainly be called a Canaanite. Now, let me just tell you, and this is really hilarious in one sense of the word. Different parts of the kingdom had different speech patterns. People spoke differently in the southern kingdom from those in the northern kingdom. It's just like here in America. I remember years and years ago, I had to land in Boston, Massachusetts, and change planes. And at that time, Eastern Airlines was in existence and was flying, and I was changed to Eastern Airlines. And so I was walking trying to find the terminal and the gate that I was supposed to be in. And here stood, I guess, a state trooper from Massachusetts. He looked like a Royal Canadian Mounted Police. He had his boots on. He had the leather strap around here with his gun. And he had the strap on his chin and his hat was on. And so I stopped and I said, "Could you please tell me which way is Eastern Airlines?" And he answered me. And I looked at him and I said, "Pardon?" And he said it again. And I was too embarrassed to ask him the third time what he said. I just said, "Thank you," and walked away. And I'm to this day to understand what he said. And he was speaking English. That Boston brogue was just so harsh. I had absolutely no idea what he was saying. I talked to a friend recently from New Hampshire. You should hear his accent. You know, they think we have a strange accent. Well, it was the same way in Palestine. The people in the northern kingdom spoke differently from the people in the southern kingdom. You remember the word Shibboleth in the Old Testament, where they got the river there and they were trying to make everyone say Shibboleth because certain people could not say it. They would say Sibboleth. They could not pronounce it correctly and they would know that they were the enemy. Well, it's the same thing here. Let me show you. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And notice, if you would please, verse 73. Then we'll go to Mark 14. But I think this is very clear. Matthew chapter 26, and notice, if you would please, at verse 73. Of course, Peter is here denying our Lord. Our Lord said that you will deny me three times before the cock crow. So watch, if you would, in Matthew 26 and verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them," that is, one of his disciples, "for thy speech betrayeth thee," or "thy speech betrayeth thee." Now, how did these Judeans know that Peter was a follower of Christ and Peter was a Galilean? They said, "Because your speech betrays you." You don't talk the way we talk. Look in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, and verse 70. Mark 14 and verse 70. Here they say the same thing except just a little differently. Mark chapter 14 and verse 70. In fact, let's read verse 69. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said unto him, to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." We know you're one of them. You can't fool us. Your accent is the same as the other men. You are a Galilean. So people in the northern kingdom spoke differently from the people in the southern kingdom. Now, so far, we've covered 11 of our Lord's original 12 disciples. Not one of the 11 was a Jew or Judean or Judahite. They were not of the tribe of Judah. They were not of the land of Judah. They were not in the country of Judah. They were not in the kingdom of Judah. They were Galileans. They were all from the northern kingdom. Now, the only one left that we have not looked at is whom? Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Are you listening? Judas Iscariot was not a Galilean. Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, was a Jew. He was a Judean. The very name Judas Iscariot indicates the place of his birth and the location of his residency. Judas Iscariot was from the village of Kerioth, which was located about 10 miles south of Hebron. Those of you who have maps, you can find Kerioth on them. I put it there. It is in the south of Hebron. It's toward Edom. Let me show you. Look in your Bibles. Hold Matthew 10, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 15. Joshua chapter 15. Joshua 15. Okay? Look in Joshua chapter 15. And let's begin reading there with verse 20. Joshua 15, verse 20. Here we go. Now, I just told you Judas Iscariot was a Judean. He was of the tribe and of the kingdom of Judah. Not of the tribe of Judah per se, but he was of the kingdom of Judah. Watch it. Joshua 15, verse 20. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. Well, evidently he was. Now watch. And the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom southward were Kabzeel and Ader and Jager and Kena and Dimona and Adadah and Kadesh, and Hazar, and Ithnan, and Ziph, and Telem, and Beloth, and Hazar, Hadatah, and Kerioth, and Hezron, which is Hazar. Notice, if you would, Kerioth. That was the possession of the children of Judah. So Judas Iscariot then would have been the only apostle who was a Judean, who was of the tribe of Judah, who was what you and I would call a Jew. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And look, if you would please, beginning there with verse 1. I want to tie this together for you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Watch this. Remember now, Judas has gone out and hanged himself. He's now dead. He's no longer around. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I want you to note, if you would, this phrase, unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So our Lord chose 12 apostles. Only one was a Judean. All the others were Galileans. Now watch verse 11. In fact, let's begin reading with verse 8. Here's what our Lord tells his disciples. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, unto the utter parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels. Look what the angels say. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What did the angel call these 11 apostles? You men of Galilee. Wow. Look in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. You know the day of Pentecost has come. Peter and the other apostles are preaching and teaching. Notice, if you would please, that's when God came in great power. 3,000 were converted. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Isn't that interesting? Every one of our Lord's disciples were Galileans, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. Judas was the only Judean among the apostles, and he betrayed Jesus Christ. Now, I can quote this verse, but I want you to see it. I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter 1, and look at verse 11. If you understand that Judas Iscariot was a Jew, a Judean, then you're going to really understand John 1, verse 11. Watch John 1, verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Remember, Jesus Christ was born of the tribe of Judah, in Bethlehem of Judea. He came into his own, and his own received him not. One of his own disciples, who was a Judean, is the one that betrayed him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You have to remember, when you read your Bibles, how the word Jew is often used and defined. And just because many in the New Testament who were first converted were Judeans, does not mean that everyone in the New Testament was a Judean. Our Lord was only a Judean by birth. He was raised in Nazareth in Galilee. Many, in fact, all but one of his 12 apostles were Galileans. You always have to depend upon the context, and you always have to understand the definition of words. If Jesus Christ was not a Jew, that is, he did not embrace Judaism, he did not embrace their traditions, he did not embrace their interpretations and misrepresentations, he did not embrace their traditions, if he did not, obviously, his disciples would not. They were not Jews. They were Galileans. You can only be a Jew by being born in the tribe of Judah or living in the land of Judea or the southern kingdom or embracing Judaism, which was the Jews' religion. But Judaism and Christianity are opposites. They're not the same. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to thee this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love and your grace. And we ask you, Father, to help us to live for thee, that you would continue to teach us, build us up in the most holy faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.